Chapter 1536, Getting Coin. Before the group even thought about heading toward what they assumed was the Adventurers' Guild, they realized there was something more important to take care of first. They needed to secure a place to stay. Walking through the streets, they came across a building that stood taller than the others, with a second floor that seemed to hold several rooms. From the outside, it looked sturdier than most places they had seen, though still worn from time and use. "I think this is an inn, right?" Gary asked, tilting his head as he studied the wooden structure. "It's just like those games Tom used to make me play. You sleep in these places, rest up, maybe even restore your health, though in the games it usually meant regaining stamina or something like that. Not that we need to worry about that here." The three pushed open the door and entered inside. Immediately, the scent of cooked food and ale hit them. They could see meals being served at rough-hewn tables, drinks being poured, and people heading up and down the stairs, likely to the rooms above. Gary's guess was spot on. This really was an inn. Kai didn't waste any time. He made his way toward the bar counter, the others following close behind, and spoke to the man standing there. The innkeeper had a large, bushy mustache that twitched slightly as he shook his head at their request. "I'm sorry," the man said firmly. "I can't make an exception. This place is already too busy as it is. If you don't have coin, I can't give you a room for the night, not even if you promise to work here." Kai thought his smooth tongue might get them out of the problem, but clearly it wasn't working this time. His gaze swept the room, taking in the drunk men slouched over tables, mugs of ale in their hands. For a moment, he even considered beating a few of them up and snatching some coins. It would certainly speed things up. "Is there anything we can do to get coin around here?" Lupus asked, his deep voice cutting through the background noise. "Something easy." The innkeeper gave him a long look, eyes scanning up and down. Though Lupus carried no weapon, his sheer size and thick muscles made it obvious he was no ordinary traveler. With a build like that, the man could only assume one thing. "If you're an adventurer," the innkeeper said, "your best bet is heading to the guild hall at the end of the street. Do a quest, earn some gold. Hunt a few beasts or find some missing items." To the innkeeper, these sounded like simple tasks, but to the three, it seemed almost laughable. With Gary's nose, sniffing out missing items wouldn't be a challenge at all. Still, it felt like a waste of their time. "Or," the innkeeper continued, "if you have some beast crystals, you can sell them to the guild hall for coin. That will be enough to get you a few nights' stay here." That gave them hope. Without another word, they left the inn, the rucksack slung over Lupus's shoulder clanging with every step. As they walked out the door, the innkeeper's eyes followed them. His brow furrowed slightly as he noticed the bag bumping against Lupus's back, the sound unmistakable. "I wonder," the man muttered to himself. "It can't be what I think it is, right?" He shook his head and went back to serving his customers. The three of them soon reached the guild hall. As they stepped inside, they were greeted by the sight of large notice boards plastered with wanted posters and quests. Round tables filled the space, where adventurers sat drinking and talking loudly with each other. Everywhere they looked, there were men and women with weapons strapped to their backs, armor covering their bodies. Gary couldn't help but stare. To him, it felt like stepping into one of those games Tom had always been obsessed with, but the adventurers were staring too. Their gazes turned to the newcomers, eyes traveling up and down their figures. The three stood out, not only because of their clothing, which lacked the usual adventuring gear, but especially because of Lupus. His towering size and bulging muscles made him look like a seasoned fighter even without armor or weapons. "Man, should I take off my shirt?" Gary whispered suddenly. Kai whipped his head toward him, his expression deadpan. "Why is your solution to everything getting naked? You really want to draw even more attention to us than we already have?" Gary's face turned red as he realized how strange his words had sounded. "No, I didn't mean it like that. I just thought. Everyone's staring at Lupus. They don't know what's under my shirt. Maybe if I spilled something on it, pretended it was an accident, and took it off, they'd realize I'm not weak either." Kai pinched the bridge of his nose and shook his head. "You're impossible." He ignored Gary completely and led them deeper inside. At the back of the hall were several reception desks, each apparently assigned to different departments. Kai guided them to one that looked like the right place to ask general questions. "Hi," Kai began politely. "We were told we could sell beast crystals here for coin. Is that true?" The receptionist looked at them curiously. "It is," she said slowly, her eyes narrowed. "But I haven't seen you before. You don't look like adventurers. Where are your weapons, your armor?" Even with Lupus's size, it was unusual for anyone to walk into the guild without proper gear. Ah, we don't need them, Gary said casually. As for adventuring, we're kind of new to this. So, the receptionist replied, her voice flat, you don't have any rank, and you want to sell beast crystals. Is this a hypothetical question, or are you actually here to sell crystals? We're really here to sell, Lupus added without hesitation. The receptionist sighed heavily, clearly not in the mood to deal with beginners. All right, are you registered with any guild? If so, and if it's a guild we're connected with, a percentage of the coins will be sent to that guild. We're not part of any guild, Kai answered simply. The woman's sigh deepened. No adventurer rank, no guild affiliation. She assumed they were wasting her time, probably hoping to sell some low-tier crystal they'd picked up by luck, three men sharing one tiny find. She was tired of these kinds of encounters. The guild can still buy your beast crystals, she explained in a monotone, but if you're not registered with any guild, we'll take a small processing fee for the crystals provided. At that moment, Lupus pulled the rucksack from his shoulder and dropped it onto the counter. With one motion, he tipped it forward. Crystal after crystal tumbled out, scattering across the desk. Each one gleamed in the dim guild light, clattering against one another as the pile grew larger and larger until they were spilling onto the floor. The sight was impossible to ignore. The noise in the hall died instantly. Conversation stopped mid-sentence. Adventurers froze, their mouths wide open, eyes locked on the mountain of crystals. Even the receptionist was stunned, staring at the shining heap in front of her. Is this enough to get us some coin? Lupus asked casually. The receptionist snapped out of her daze, her eyes wide with alarm. I need to get the guild leader. Now, she shouted, rushing away from the desk. Chapter 1537, Making a Deal. Beast crystals were a rarity, back in what they would call their world at least. In their time, such things could be sold for a small fortune, drawing attention from governments, companies, and anyone seeking power. But here in this strange place, whether it was a new world, the past, or simply some constructed space, they were starting to realize things were different. Beasts seemed to appear constantly, roaming lands with no shortage of threats. Entire professions here were dedicated to eliminating them, and adventurers built their lives around hunting and collecting the crystals. Based on their experience, the three had already discovered it wasn't particularly hard to gather them. Because of that, they assumed the crystals couldn't possibly be worth much in this world. However, Kai's sharp senses were picking up more than just the crystals themselves. His ears twitched, catching every whispered word and hushed conversation from those gathered in the guild hall. Look how many beast crystals they brought with them, one adventurer whispered, his eyes glued to the pile on the desk. Do you think they're fake? I've seen fake crystals before, another said, shaking his head. But these don't look fake at all. You can feel the energy radiating off them. They're definitely real. But how could three people who aren't even part of a guild or ranked in any way gather that many crystals to kill that many beasts? Do you think they stole them? Right. They might have just stumbled across a group of dead adventurers and brought the crystals in themselves. Still, at the end of the day, possession makes it theirs. Lucky bunch. The murmurs continued, the hall buzzing with disbelief. Then, from the staircase, led by the receptionist, a tall, older man appeared. His presence silenced the room. Deep wrinkles lined his forehead, and a smirk seemed permanently etched across his long face. A heavy mustache drooped past his mouth, hanging low as if weighed down by years of leadership. Gary leaned closer to Kai, his voice low but not nearly as discreet as he thought. So that's the guild leader, right? I guess this is like meeting a gang boss. Kai thought about it, and surprisingly, he agreed. It wasn't a bad comparison. They should treat this situation exactly like that, careful, respectful, cautious. The guild leader reached the bottom of the stairs and cast a glance toward them, his sharp eyes narrowing slightly. You three are the ones who brought these crystals with you, he asked. Yes, Lupus answered plainly. Then the next question I have is this, the man continued, stepping closer. Did you gather these crystals yourself? As in, did you personally defeat the beasts to obtain them? We did, Lupus said again, without hesitation. The hall grew still, the silence heavy. The guild leader studied them closely, as though weighing the truth of Lupus's words. His sharp gaze made it clear that a single slip could turn the tide against them. I'll be honest with you, the man finally said. I find that hard to believe. The three of you have no beast gear, no weapons at your side, and you're not part of any guild. Gary felt his stomach tight. He could see where this line of questioning was leading. Suspicion was clear in the man's tone. If they weren't careful, this could spiral. The guild could accuse them of stealing the crystals, or worse, claim the crystals for themselves under the guise of justice. Then Gary remembered something, Karam's reaction back in the village. It hit him suddenly, something he had forgotten until now. "It's because we're werewolves," Gary blurted out. Never in his life did he think he would say those words so openly, without hesitation. But if even a villager like Karam knew about werewolves, then surely members of a guild would know as well. The guild leader's expression shifted immediately. His lips curled into a grin and his hands clapped together with a loud smack that echoed through the quiet hall. "Oh, that explains it then," he said with sudden cheer. "Why don't you follow me to my office and we'll get those crystals processed properly for you? Truth be told, there was a reason I was questioning you. Perhaps there's something we can do to help each other." The three exchanged brief glances but agreed to follow. They ascended the stairs and entered the guild leader's office. Compared to the rough-hewn hall below, this place was extravagant. The room was filled with fine decorations and treasures. Jewels glittered in ornate cases, and rich fabrics draped across the furniture. Even if this was the past, or another world entirely, one didn't need to be told the guild leader had wealth. The man sat behind his desk while the three of them settled into the sofas placed before it. "Lily will be ready with the coins shortly," the guild leader explained. "But while she's preparing, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Glenn, leader of the Energy Star Guild here." His smile grew slightly as he leaned forward. "I wanted to make a proposal to the three of you. At the moment, there's a quest that has been causing trouble for most of our guild members. We aren't the strongest of guilds, but in the local area, a powerful beast has been stirring chaos. Although you aren't officially ranked, just from the number of crystals you've brought in, I can gauge your strength." His eyes glinted with curiosity. "Do you mind, just for verification, showing me that you really are werewolves?" Gary saw no harm in it. Other than the crystals, they had little else that could serve as proof. So, without hesitation, he raised his hand. Brown fur sprouted across his skin, his fingers elongating slightly, claws emerging before he pulled it back, the transformation receding as quickly as it came. "That's enough," Gary said. "Excellent," Glenn said, his tone impressed. "I've only seen a few werewolves myself in my time. Of course, you'll be rewarded for helping us on this quest, but I suspect simple payment won't be enough for you. I assume you're here for a reason." "We're currently traveling to the Redwing Kingdom," Kai explained. "We were hoping to stay the night and ask for directions. We're on a bit of a time crunch, so I'm not sure we can help you with your issue." Glenn nodded slowly, tapping his fingers on the desk. "I thought as much. Still, I believe we can help each other. The Redwing Kingdom is the largest and most powerful kingdom in all of Bronzeland. My guess is that you don't have citizenship, but you're heading there to meet with other werewolves, correct?" "That much is obvious, considering you don't even know the direction to the kingdom." The three froze. Glenn wasn't wrong. His sharp deduction cut straight through their vague story. "I can provide you with direct passage to the location," Glenn continued smoothly, "and I also have ways to ensure you can enter the city itself. In return, I ask for your help in dealing with this beast troubling our region. I think you'll agree this is quite a fair offer." The three looked at one another. With Kai's instincts, if they followed their own path, it could take far longer to reach the Redwing Kingdom. This was an opportunity, perhaps the best one they would find. "All right," Kai said at last. "You have a deal." Chapter 1538, A Big Quest Part 1. After accepting the quest, the recipient they had met at the front desk returned swiftly, moving with surprising efficiency. In her hands, she carried a small pouch which she opened in front of them to reveal a glinting collection of coins. There were two bright gold coins, a tightly bound bundle of silver coins, and several bronze ones stacked together. The three of them leaned forward slightly, eyes on the money. To them, it was difficult to gauge exactly how valuable this was. The system had given them no measure of this world's wealth. Still, judging from the way everyone around them reacted, Kai guessed it was worth quite a lot. "That's a big amount," Glenn remarked, his voice calm but carrying a note of approval. "But after tomorrow's quest, the three of you will be quite wealthy. You'll have enough to live for months without lifting a finger, and it will more than fund your travels." Kai, Gary, and Lupus exchanged glances at his words. For now, it was a relief. They weren't completely stranded in this new environment. The three of them stood, ready to leave the guild for the evening. "We'll be here tomorrow morning to help out," Kai said, his tone firm, "and hopefully we won't have to stay here longer than a month." With that, they left and returned to the inn. The man at the counter greeted them warmly as they approached. Kai stepped forward, pulling out the sack of coins they had just received. He loosened the mouth of the bag and tilted it forward, allowing the innkeeper to see the shining collection. The man's eyes widened, his jaw dropping as he reached in to take what was needed for their stay. "My word," he exclaimed, clearly startled. "How did the three of you go from having no coins at all to suddenly owning such a large amount? How is that possible?" Gary shrugged, answering casually. "We had some beast crystals and sold them based on what you told us before, so thanks for that. That's why we decided to return here to do business with you." The man stared at them for a moment, then slowly smiled. "You three really aren't from around here, are you? That much is obvious. What you did is not something people would normally do in this world. Not unless they've fought for years, side by side, and trust each other absolutely. It's nice that you have that sense of loyalty among you, but remember this. Not everyone you meet will be so kind in return. Some will see what you have and try to take it. Best if you keep your wealth hidden, otherwise someone may try to snatch it away." The three of them thanked him for the warning before heading upstairs to their room. When they entered, silence settled over them. Even though they were in this together, there was still a strange tension in the air. For Kai and Gary, it was odd, unthinkable, really, that they would be sharing a room with Lupus. Sleeping in such close proximity to him made the atmosphere feel stiff, almost uncomfortable. Words caught in their throats and none of them spoke much. Instead, they lay down, each on their own bedding, and let sleep take them, preparing for what was to come the next day. The morning came quickly. They woke easily, the quiet of dawn replacing the restless sounds of the night. The rooms weren't soundproof, and their sensitive ears had picked up nearly everything that had happened downstairs. Still, the early hours brought with them a kind of stillness that was refreshing. Before setting out, they ordered a large meal. Plates were brought up and they filled themselves with enough food to re-energize, their bodies ready for the task ahead. Coins were no longer something they needed to ration carefully, they had plenty now. As Gary bit into his food, he glanced down toward the inn's front desk. "Man, does the innkeeper even sleep? He's awake now, and he was awake last night when we arrived. I feel bad for the guy." Kai replied, his voice quieter, more reflective. "I guess in this day and age, you have to do whatever you can to survive. We sometimes think we have it bad with everything happening in our cities, but when you look at the general people on the streets, their lives are different. Harder, maybe." Gary fell silent at that. The three of them finished their meal and left the inn together, stepping out into the cool morning air. The guild house wasn't far, and as they approached, they could already see the activity outside. Adventurers were gathering in large numbers, some adjusting their armor, others checking their beast gear, staffs, and wands. It was clear they were preparing for a serious mission. The three of them moved closer, observing quietly. At least 15 adventurers had gathered, standing ready in the open courtyard. Then, from the guild house itself, the leader emerged. Glenn walked out, his staff in hand, exuding confidence as he surveyed his guild. Kai's eyes flickered over the assembled group. "There's a lot of people," he muttered. "This must be quite the hard beast we're going up against." "We'll just finish the job quickly and move on to the Red Wing Kingdom," Lupus replied, his tone curt. The chatter among the adventurers fell silent as Glenn lifted his staff. His smile was broad, his voice ringing out clearly for all to hear. "All right, everyone, are we ready for this quest? If we complete it, this could be the very thing our guild needs to reach the next level. So let's give it our all. Everyone, move out." The crowd stirred with energy. Adventurers tightened their grips on their weapons, adjusted straps and belts, and prepared themselves mentally. Then, with Glenn leading the way, the group began to move out of town. Kai, Gary, and Lupus exchanged quick glances and followed behind, blending in with the rest of the party. Back inside the inn, the innkeeper was quietly cleaning the tables, wiping them down one by one. His movements were calm, routine, but his expression shifted when the door opened. He froze mid-motion, eyes lifting to the newcomers who stepped inside. Recognition flickered across his face, and then he smiled. "Ah, you came," the innkeeper said warmly. He set the cloth down and leaned forward slightly. "I think I found some of the people you were looking for, but you'd better hurry. They've already left." Chapter 1539. A Big Quest, Part 2. The good thing about the three of them being what they were was that they could listen in on conversations others could not. Their heightened senses picked up the voices of all the other guild members walking ahead and behind them, their words drifting through the forest air. Every sentence, every whisper, was absorbed into their ears. It allowed them to learn more about the world without ever needing to ask questions directly. Right now, the group was moving deeper into the forest, the ground damp with moss, leaves crunching under their boots. Glenn was at the head of the party, his staff tapping lightly against the earth as he guided them forward toward where the beast was said to dwell. Gary looked around at the towering trees, the endless stretch of green, and let out a small laugh of disbelief. "This is our second day, and I still can't believe it," he admitted. "I really thought that when I woke up today, we might be back in Slough. But here we are, still stuck in this place where beasts roam freely through the land." "It appears," Lupus added, his voice low but steady, "that if we don't complete the quests given to us, we really won't be able to return. Still," he glanced at the world around them, the shafts of sunlight breaking through the canopy, the sound of life in every corner. "It's amazing, isn't it? This whole world." Kai didn't speak immediately, but he nodded in agreement. It was hard to put into words, but there was a sense of scale here that was different from anything back home. The land was vast, the people they had met felt real in every way, and every choice they made seemed to ripple outward. It made him wonder, was there an end to this? If they failed, if they never completed the system's task, would they just be forced to live here forever? "Flying snakes!" Glenn shouted suddenly. The warning came only moments before several serpentine shapes darted out from the branches of nearby trees, wings buzzing as they shot through the air. Glenn reacted instantly, his staff igniting with flame. He conjured several small embers that flared brightly before streaking outward, burning through the flying snakes midair. The rest of the guild members were quick to respond as well. Swords flashed, staves glowed, and arrows flew. Everyone acted with practiced coordination, fighting off the sudden ambush. Gary felt his instincts take over. His arms shifted, claws extending as his hands transformed. He swung forward, slashing through one of the snakes, his claws cutting cleanly through its center. The beast shrieked before collapsing lifelessly onto the forest floor. It was their first encounter on this quest, and though it was simple, Gary knew this wouldn't be the end. He was right. As the group pressed deeper, the forest seemed to grow darker, denser, and soon larger creatures emerged. They were bug-like in appearance, monstrous distortions of insects Gary remembered from home. Giant ladybugs with chitinous shells and snapping mandibles spat venom that hissed as it hit the ground, burning patches of earth away. The issue wasn't their individual strength. Any one of them could be dealt with by an experienced adventurer. The problem was their numbers. They came in swarms, crawling and flying, overwhelming through sheer volume. Now Gary understood why the guild had needed so many members for this quest. Adventurers cried out, some sustaining scratches and cuts from the onslaught. None had fallen yet, but the injuries were proof of how relentless the beasts were. Gary felt his chest tighten with frustration. He didn't like watching others struggle. He didn't like standing by when he knew he could help. His body shifted, fur sprouting, muscles bulging as he transformed further. His werewolf form gave him the strength and speed he needed, and he hurled himself into the fray. Claws raked through shells, teeth tore through limbs. Gary fought with raw ferocity, carving a path through the swarm. "He should save his energy for when we reach the end," Lupus muttered, watching Gary. Kai smirked at the comment. "Gary's always been like that, and he's always managed to win his fights no matter the odds. Trust me, he would have ended up kicking your ass even after fighting like this for hours." Rather than take offense, Lupus let out a rare smirk of his own. "You trust him a lot. It would appear the two of you have been through quite a lot together. Almost like brothers, it's a good feeling." The battle stretched on. The insects kept coming, but little by little, the adventurers pushed them back. Step by step, they fought their way upward, climbing until they were ascending a mountain path. The terrain was harsh, the incline steep, but eventually they reached the top. It was there, upon a flat plateau, that the world seemed to still. The swarm was gone. The air grew colder, heavy with tension, and even the sound of the forest faded. "This is it," Glenn announced, planting his staff into the ground. "This is where it lives, the giant moth. If we take it down, we're all golden." The adventurers spread out, forming a loose circle across the flat surface. Weapons were drawn, spells prepared, eyes searching, but nothing appeared. The wide expanse of rock was empty. Gary sniffed the air, frowning. "I'll see if we can find anything." Kai and Lupus followed his lead, each of them lifting their heads, inhaling deeply, their senses straining. No beast, no hint of one hiding nearby. But then their nostrils flared at the same time, all three catching a different scent. They moved together, gathering in the center of the plateau. Blood. It wasn't the scent of a beast, it was human. "Hey," Gary called out, waving Glenn over. "I think you should check this, oh," he didn't finish. A sudden surge of power erupted beneath their feet. All three of them cried out as electric shocks coursed up their legs, snapping violently through their bodies. The force pinned them in place, their muscles spasming as sparks ran across their skin. Then came the vines. Large, tree-like tendrils burst from the ground, wrapping tightly around their legs, holding them fast. Ice followed, sharp sheets of frost blasting against their feet, freezing them to the stone. Magic pressed down from above, an invisible weight crushing onto their heads, forcing their bodies lower. The three of them were bombarded from every angle, overwhelmed by spell after spell. They strained, growling, snarling, but the onslaught didn't stop. Gary's eyes snapped to the edge of the plateau. He saw Glenn. He saw the other adventurers. Their hands were raised, their weapons glowing, their magic aimed directly at him, Kai, and Lupus. Realization hit like a blade to the chest. They were under attack. "It looks like our plan worked," Glenn said with a smile, his voice carrying over the crackle of magic.